untouchable, untouchable.
I'm feeling.
Let's go.
Need to let it go.
You never know where it's heading. The Scenic Drive with Rion.
Wahbi Long. Now, Wahbi wrote a book called Nation on the Couch. He is an associate professor and clinical psychologist in the Department of Psychology at the University of Cape Town. I started reading the book. Didn't finish it. Still busy with it. Nation on the Couch. But it's an unusual perspective on the nation's apparent madness. People are mad. And even we hear the word senseless the whole time. Senseless violence. Senseless. Senseless. Wahbi is with us. Hello, Wahbi.
Hi, Rion.
Hey, nice
Thanks
to talk
for having
to you.
Me on the show.
Thanks for talking to us.
Sure, no problem.
Listen, I'm enjoying the read, I must tell you. Nation on the Couch. So I said to Dielbach, I just have to talk to you because I'm still busy with the book, but these are important concepts. And I think it's the first time someone actually went out and said, from a psychological perspective, let me look at the nation and come to some form of conclusion. So, Wahbi, are we mad? Not all of us. I think I feel sane. I think you're sane too. But the majority of the people in this country, are they insane? Feels like it.
Well, Rihanna, let me put it like this. If one thinks about the stuff that South Africans do to each other over and over and over again, it sounds like a broken record that just goes on repeat. And from that perspective, sure, there's something seriously wrong that we keep on doing the same things to each other, the same harmful things, and we don't seem to be able to get out of the loop.
So what went wrong here? Because this is the sad thing about this country is we can not even the last World Cup had the same impact as 95. You know, everyone still refers back to 95 when everyone in United. And then obviously I think the year after that with Neil Andrews.
Africa Cup of Nations.
Africa Cup of
Neil
Nations.
Tovey,
Neil Tovey, sorry, Neil Andrews. Then after that, nothing. There's no nation to speak of, eh, Wahbi? That concept doesn't really apply to us.
Yeah, that's a great point, Rian. And we had to wait almost, over 20 years before we had another huge sporting win, at least, you know, at the level of a team sports with the 2019 Rugby World Cup. Mm. So, yeah, you know, there are these huge, huge divisions that separate us from each other. But in the same breath, I also argue in the book that there's one thing that ties us all together. And the thing that ties us all together as a nation is our alienation. In other words, our separation from each other, from ourselves, from our workplaces, from our institutions. It's this condition of alienation that makes us a nation. So it's quite a paradoxical thing to get one's head around, that on the one hand we're all you know, separated from each other, but it's because of our separateness that we come to be a nation.
Yeah, but that's not gonna solve our problems, say Wahbi. It's a mess. I think we must all sort of, you know, put that on the table. And the main problem here is that South Africans are not glued together. They're like, whatever, I'm doing my thing, you do your thing, you do your thing. And we don't care about the other group.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what this book tries to do is it tries to help us understand what's behind the biggest problems in South Africa, psychologically speaking. What's going on behind corruption? What's going on behind violence? What's going on behind inequality? What's going on behind racism? You know, psychologically speaking, how can we understand these problems? And I think, you know, there are so many social commentaries out there, political explanations, economic explanations for what's going on, but very few psychological ones. And the argument I make in the book is, until we have our collective head as a nation read, we're going to carry on doing what we're doing. We can only really begin to change how we deal with each other if we understand what's driving our behaviors.
So what's driving our behaviors? Let's take corruption as one example. It seems like everyone is stealing, but, you know, I feel out now and then. It feels like I need to be taking something from Jacaranda FM every night before I leave.
It's become the new normal. And the numbers are staggering. We're talking about we're talking about billions, billions of rands that are really just going down the drain with corruption. And what I suggest, Rian, is that in a country where there's so much inequality and where people are so desperate just to survive, when you get into a position where you fall into money, as it were, then you almost don't know how to use that money wisely and responsibly and ethically. I mean, that's not to say that I'm making an excuse for corruption, but I'm trying to take a broader view here, that when people are desperate and suddenly their fortunes turn around, then you kind of have to expect that consumption and is just going to go out of control.
But Wahbi, here's the problem now. Most of the people in these positions were not picked from the street. You know, they already come from wealthy backgrounds. They just get, you know, placed in other scenarios where they can earn even more money. It's not people, you know, coming from township, well, from squatter camps. It's rich people already. This is the problem.
Well, I think if we're talking cadre deployment, which I think we are,
yeah,
then I think it's a question of how the wealth of people changes over time. You know, what I would argue is that initially, when people come to power, corrupt behaviors begin. But then, as time passes by, the corruption just can't slow down. It's like feeding off itself, and I think that's what's happened in South Africa, where you had a group of people who had come from poor backgrounds, who then land in power. The corruption starts, and corruption, you know, it's just kind of got a logic of its own. It really just kind of is very hard to stop, and over time the zeros just start increasing, and before you know it, you're talking about hundreds of billions just being wasted.
Well, to call a spade, you, I mean, you're a psychologist. You've got a long track record in psychology. If South Africa was a patient, you would suggest institutionalizing this patient. I'm sure you would.
Well, you know, that's I suppose what many would think. A lot of people talk about the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and whether we need to be institutionalized with a TRC, 2.0. And I think that kind of viewpoint that's expressed by many people in this country is pretty much what you're talking about. That this country seriously needs to be protected from itself in a way.
I agree with that. I think we do need one of those. I honestly think we do. I don't know what your opinion is about it.
A TRC 2.0, certainly. I think that there's unfinished business, a lot of unfinished business. I suppose what it's going to come down to is the practicalities. You know, how do we make something like that happen? It was very understandable to have a TRC, post 1994, but we're 27 years down the line now. Do people really want to go back and revisit all those horrors? I would say it's essential. But then you've got to have the stomach to do that kind of work, you know?
So what do we do, Wahbi? What's the plan here? Give us the plan.
The solution I come up with at the end of the book, Rian, is called the Golden Rule. Now the Golden Rule is something that has been developed across time, across place, by practically every religious system on earth. Even atheistic systems have come up with this principle, the Golden Rule. And what it basically means is to treat other people the way you want to be treated, and to not treat other people in the way that you do not want to be treated. And you know, it sounds like such a simple thing to say, and yet it's an incredibly difficult thing to practice, to really try to see the other person, to try and treat the other person with respect, with dignity, to recognize the other person as a valuable human being. Now, you know, I'm using these words in a very sort of psychological way. You know, you might be asking yourself, but what's the big deal about that? You know, how do we treat each other, in that way, but you know, materially nothing changes in this country. Well, the point is that the golden rule is not just about, you know, psychology, it's about action. It's about treating people well, not just in words or in thoughts, but materially, you know. Simple things like paying our workers the way fair. That we should pay them.
Yeah.
Treating our teachers well. Looking after our older people,
mm-hmm.
Simple things that we really don't give a second thought to. It starts with the small things. You know, people often look for the big things, you know, the macro stuff. How do we fix the economy and all that stuff? How do we fix our political systems? But let's not forget that, sure, that stuff's important, but the small stuff also matters. The small things about how we treat each other. Respect for me is and dignity are big parts of the solution.
Wahbi Long, the book is Nation on the Couch. Wahbi, I really enjoy this. I can talk to you all night, but unfortunately it's music radio, you know what I'm saying.
Understood.
Go well. Thanks for the chat. Really appreciated it.
You're welcome, Ryan.
Go well, Wahbi.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, bye.
Let's go.
Just the dry soft SD community, mate.
Says it like it is.
The Scenic Drive with Ryan. Weekdays 4 to 7. Jacaranda FM.